Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
It's the Football League edition of the Transfer Rumour Mill here on Love Sport Radio. You're with me, Johnny Burrow, and I'd like to start you off with an absolutely mad rumour. Normally, we like to go for a reasonable one to start. This one, I would say, could have legs. Surely not. Gianluigi Buffon, Juventus great, currently of PSG, World Cup winner as captain, by the way, for Italy in 2006, sharing it with Cannavaro, to Leeds. To Leeds United, Marcelo Bielsa's Leeds. That's if we believe the Corriere della Sera in Italy. Normally, this would be absolute nonsense. We could throw this out of hand. But the one little thing that makes me think this could possibly have legs is Bielsa. And the fact that he is such an enigmatic character, such a bizarre figure in the game. People glorify him to a remarkable extent, particularly in the Spanish-speaking world, but some people in Italy as well. He has real disciples. And maybe, just maybe, if Buffon wants to be a coach, maybe he sees a prospect of a year under Bielsa as the best way of learning. There is something magnificent about a once truly great international footballer going and playing for someone who is currently rubbish. We saw Edgar Davids as player manager of Barnet whilst wearing his iconic spectacles. We saw, of course, JJ Okocha, so good they named him twice, go to Hull because he said that God came to him in a dream and told him to do so. Just sensational. We can expect Thierry Henry to sign for Walsall next season, no doubt. We've also got massive Football League rumour repercussions off the back of Newcastle's baffling failure to get Rafa Benitez to sign a new deal. Previously, we'd all rather assumed, I think, that the club would be signing West Brom's Venezuelan striker Salomon Rondon. Now, Rondon is pushing 30, but he's got a £16.5 million release clause. Rafa Benitez really liked him. Mike Ashley doesn't. And Mike Ashley, business-minded as ever, doesn't have a great deal of interest in spending a large amount of money, in relative terms, on a guy who is pushing 30. Funny that. We'll be asking the extent to which transfers are dependent on the managers. Because back in the day, with a Wenger or a Ferguson, these guys were managers in the sense of being the head of a football club. They had control over all of these matters. Now, that title of head coach that they all seem to have at the top of the Premier League is quite a telling one. Yeah, all right, you're in charge of the team. You're in charge of the activity on the training ground. But you're not running this football club. And in some cases, they're actually having their signings dictated to them. It's interesting to see a deal that we assume to be nailed on fall apart because a manager goes missing. The question now is, what happens to Rondon? You'd have thought, after a decent year in the Premier League, he will have other potential suitors. But is there any prospect at all of him just staying at West Brom for one more year? It would be bizarre. I'm not sure how the wages would work out in the Championship, but that is one option. And one deal that has already gone through is Joe Aribo of Charlton. We're waiting for absolute confirmation of this, but it's sounding like he is on his way to Rangers. And various people are responding to this and saying, why? Because we as English football fans like nothing more than to be very, very snobby about the Scottish League. The phrase tin pot gets thrown around. The Sunday League, another one. Right, classic, brilliant. There are people from Charlton fans to, I suspect, other Charlton players, and even the Charlton manager, by the way, say, Joe Aribo, fair enough, leave the club, better yourself. But why are you going to Rangers? Bowyer came out swinging. He said, listen, players from England only go to Scotland, even when we're talking Rangers and Celtic, at the end of their career, because in today's day and age, it's relatively difficult to move from the Scottish League straight to the Premier League. Bowyer's arguing, listen, you might get a move to the Championship. We're already in the Championship. Why didn't you stay in England? Two words for you. Two words. Very straightforward. Steven Gerrard. It is genuinely that straightforward. It's not even the fact that he's clearly a very talented coach. It's about the mystery. It's about the name. It's about the legend. Now, Joe Aribo and I are the same age, right? And I can guarantee that any central midfielder, any footballer who grew up in England of our generation playing football in the playground screamed, "Gerard!" every time they hit a volley. Every time. Joe Aribo, much better footballer than I am. But the opportunity to play under someone who Aribo will have modelled his game on growing up and look to the guy who you remember playing for England in a World Cup, that's a big part of what this is about. And also, of course, there will be big money involved as well. And talking of the financial aspects of this deal, there's another reason why Lee Bowyer will be pretty annoyed if it is Rangers that Aribo ends up at, because actually, he's not just concerned about the player's career. If you're under the age of 23 and you're English and you move clubs on a free from one English club to another, that deal will go to a tribunal. So it's not free, right? The transfer fee, the compensation, as it's called, gets set by that tribunal. And this can come back and bite you. Liverpool thought they were being very, very clever when they signed Danny Ings nominally on a free from Burnley. The tribunal said that'll be the best part of 10 million quid, please. So a free agent is not necessarily so cheap after all. But if you go abroad, and Joe Aribo going to Rangers counts as outside of the English league system, the compensation that Rangers will be required to pay is apparently around the £300,000 mark, right? So the reason why Lee Bowyer is actually fussed about this is because the money that he might have had to reinvest in a central midfielder now just simply isn't there, because Aribo is a huge part of that team. De Châtelet is not a man who's going to throw money at the club. So Bowyer is now in a position where his best midfielder by a distance is leaving. He's not going to be able to replace him in terms of expense. It's a very, very scary one. We'll be getting the latest on that from Martin Adkins of the SE7 pod and, of course, the Charlton Fan Show here on Love Sport Radio towards the end of the hour. We're also going to Millwall. They are after Jamal Lowe still. He was very exciting for Portsmouth last year. We'll find out where that deal's at. Lee Gregory has been confirmed as a Stoke player. He's still a favourite at the Den. But that move for Polish international goalkeeper Bartosz Bielkowski is off. There were apparently complications with his medical today. We're going to have to find out what happened. I think we all often think of medicals as just something that happens. You know, they do the medical. They're a professional athlete. They're fit. They're healthy. They sign the contract. Boom. Done. Actually, quite a lot of these deals do fall through. We saw Nabil Fekir, for example, was going to Liverpool last summer. They found out he didn't have any knees, and then they went, hang on a minute, maybe not. But the big place where we have to start is Derby. Frank Lampard's Derby, who could go back to just being Derby County after all. Don't go anywhere.
This is Love Sport.
It's the transfer rumour mill here on Love Sport Radio. It's the Football League edition, and as such, we've got to talk Derby County. The statement they have released has made their fans furious. The club have been known as Frank Lampard's Derby for the last 12 months, possibly no longer. Derby County Football Club can confirm that they've granted permission for Chelsea Football Club to speak to Frank Lampard about the vacant managerial position at Stamford Bridge. Talk about weakening your own negotiating position. Delighted to say I'm joined on the line by Gab Sutton, owner of the Football Lab. Good evening, Gab. Thanks for joining me. Are Derby's fans right to be disappointed?
Well, I don't think they are. I mean, I can understand in normal circumstances why a lot of fans would be disappointed about a manager leaving at this stage of the summer. I mean, we've seen Grant McCann leave Doncaster for Hull. A lot of Doncaster fans are annoyed that Grant McCann had talked about the importance of players showing loyalty to the club, and then obviously going himself when a different offer came along. So I can understand certain aspects of that. And obviously, pre-season has practically begun for some clubs. So I suppose in terms of preparation time, it wouldn't be ideal. Having said that, We've known for a long time that Frank Lampard is pretty much Chelsea through and through. Obviously started out at West Ham, but you know, for much of his career, he's got a huge affiliation with Chelsea. Obviously, you know, you don't know what will happen if Chelsea went somewhere else and then they took Chelsea on to a new dynasty. So this could be a once in a lifetime, should I say, opportunity for Frank Lampard. So I can understand why he would want to take that deal, but I can also understand why fans wouldn't be happy about it.
Gab, we know that Lampard is Chelsea through and through, but is he actually that good a manager?
Well, it's an interesting question. I mean, I think he did a good job at Derby last season. I think fundamentally, he's, as well as getting them into the top six, which they were the year before he came in, I think he's also changed the style of football very quickly. I think he's integrated a lot of young players. He's not been afraid to use academy graduates like Jaden Bogle and sort of develop them that way. Obviously, developed Mason Mount, who's a very exciting talent coming through the Chelsea's academy. In terms of a manager, we shall see how good he comes.
I think he's going. Gab, I don't know about you, but I had Oliver Harbord, who's Football.London's Chelsea correspondent, in the studio with me last Friday for the Chelsea Fan Show. That's every Friday, 8 till 9. And my first question for him was, is Lampard going? He said, yeah, it's absolutely done. They're not announcing it yet, but this is a deal which will straightforwardly happen. We've had Harry Redknapp, who is Lampard's uncle, say he thinks it's going to happen. So the question now, from a Derby perspective, is who replaces him?
Well, it's an interesting question. I mean, I see Gary Monk is at the top of the contenders. I really admire what Gary Monk did at Birmingham last season, but I think he did a different type of job. I think it was more about being sort of pragmatic about the players available. He didn't really integrate the youth as much at Birmingham, which is obviously one of the things that Derby have wanted to do. So, if I look at the contenders, I'd look at an outside shot, somebody like Michael Appleton, who's really kind of come back into the sort of management sphere with an excellent spell at Oxford and then obviously one or two spells as an assistant elsewhere. I feel like he could be a strong contender for the Derby job.
That's a very interesting tip. Is there a problem for Derby here more broadly? Because a big part of their success was those loan players, Tomori and Mount from Chelsea, Wilson from Liverpool. I was talking at the beginning of the show about the draw of playing for a formerly great player. They're not going to have that without Lampard. Are they still going to be able to get highly rated youngsters?
I would think so, yeah. I mean, I still think that they've got an exciting squad. I think they've got young talent there. Obviously, I mentioned Bogle beforehand. I think Jack Marriott, a very exciting striker at Championship level. Obviously, you've got Tom Lawrence as well, who's certainly capable of flashes of real brilliance. So I don't think they're short of talent in that Derby squad. And I think that the success they did developing some of those players might entice more clubs to loan them out. I mean, they're not the only clubs that got players in on loan from elite clubs. So I wouldn't say that would be a huge problem for Derby.
From what you saw of Lampard's performance at Championship level, Gab, what would you expect of him at Chelsea?
Well, I think he would place emphasis on high pressing and playing out from the back. I think he's got a very modern style of play in that sense, and I think that would fit in well. I also think that his experience as a player has actually helped him cope with high-pressure moments. I mean, I think a lot of people sort of criticising Lampard's appointment to Chelsea, and understandably so, are saying that he's not really experienced it near the top level. And I can understand that. But at the same time, I think that he's shown potential as a manager lower down. And I think having played in Champions League finals, FA Cup finals, Premier League deciders, all these sorts of things, as well as having the managerial nous that he's shown so far at Derby, I do feel like he has the ingredients to potentially be a success at Chelsea.
How are Derby going to approach this transfer window? Whether Lampard's in charge or not, can we expect loan players to stay? Can we expect them to splash the cash?
Well, I don't know about splashing the cash. I mean, I think that they did that for a couple of seasons, sort of between 2014 maybe and 2017, where that they sort of probably overinvested, and players sort of over 25 had been proven at championship level, players like sort of Jason Shackle, who you'd think was a sort of a guaranteed performer, didn't quite work out, maybe Bradley Johnson to an extent as well, and they ended up with a high wage bill and not enough players with a high sell-on value. So I think they've learned from certain mistakes there, and I think they're going to invest in developing more players on loan and developing signing players with high sell-on values.
Gab, has Lampard got to be careful here? Because the Chelsea job, I understand, is too good to turn down if you love Chelsea in the way that he does. But if he goes there, finishes 15th, gets the sack, what then?
Well, I don't think that's particularly likely. I mean, I think that there will be patience with him at Chelsea. I think that's the first thing.
We've heard that before.
Well, I do think that this is a slightly different scenario, because in the past, Chelsea have been able to outspend all of their competitors, virtually barring Manchester City. That's the financial power they've had. More recently, I think, obviously, now you're looking at the transfer ban coming in, potentially. I don't think they will be able to spend as freely as they have done in the past. And I think now you're looking at, if they are going to be a success, more of a development project where you're going to try and build a squad from the, you know, from the development squad over a longer period of time.
And that, of course, is the point of bringing Jody Morris with him. I know you're an expert in all things Football League. Chelsea had a lot of players out on loan at the lower levels this season. Which of them do you think are ready to step into the first team?
Well, one player we haven't mentioned is Tammy Abraham, who was on loan at Aston Villa. I know he didn't work with Lampard, but I look at some of the strikers Chelsea have at the moment, players like Morata and lots of other strikers like that, and I just sort of think, why are they letting Tammy Abraham out on loan? Because his athleticism, you know, a real sort of strength. He's got good hold-up play, very good finisher as well, excellent goal return in the Championship. I think he's ready to start for Chelsea, and you almost feel like if he was sort of abroad, he's the kind of player that they'd probably look at Chelsea, and they've already got him. So I think that Lampard will have an eye for these sorts of players who haven't been, they're not sort of high value stars, but they actually can, they do have long term potential. So I think there's Abraham there. I also am a big fan of Takaye Tomori, who was also on loan at Derby last season.
I've just got to ask you before I let you get going, Gab, about this link between Gianluigi Buffon and Leeds United. I would throw it out of hand, but there is the Bielsa factor, which makes the whole thing completely unpredictable. Next season, are we going to see World Cup winning Gianluigi Buffon hiding in a bush, spying on Leeds United and Derby County's training sessions?
Well, I'm not an insider at Leeds United or at any football club, so that's an impossible question for me to answer. I would imagine.
But does it not sound like rubbish?
We've thought that before. I think that Bielsa, he's renowned in world football. He's respected across the world. He's a bit of a cult hero in terms of the innovative ideas he's brought to the game, and certainly that extends to the Championship. So I think he's a hugely influential figure. I'm not going to say it's impossible. And certainly he would be an excellent figure, Buffon, to have around the club.
Yeah, quite something. Imagine being a young goalkeeper coming through. Oh, who are you working with at training today? Buffon. That'll do, won't it? Gab, thank you ever so much for your time. Lovely to speak to you. Gab Sutton, their owner of the Football Lab, a real expert in the Football League. I just wonder if Derby County fans are right to be hard done by. But looking at it externally, I think a lot of fans would be forgiven for asking, well, is Frank Lampard that good? Because actually, sixth place, a playoff qualification spot, is what Derby County demand from their managers. It's what they've always demanded. If you look at that squad on paper with the likes of Harry Wilson, just an incredible left-footed right winger, You should be finishing sixth with that squad, frankly, Frank. And then getting to the playoff final, okay, great. Did you win it? No. I genuinely would argue that a losing playoff final finish for Frank Lampard's Derby was about par for the course. And I hope, I genuinely do hope, that if he goes to Chelsea, they're a success, because it's about time, frankly, that Chelsea became a club with a bit of character, with a manager who actually cares about the club and fans who care about the coach. But you just wonder, because he's promised patience, and we've seen so many coaches be promised patience before. Look at Maurizio Sarri. Now, I know Sarri walked, but let's be honest. If Juve hadn't come sniffing, he probably would have been pushed. What they did there was they hired the boss who is the most ideologically complex in world football. He's got the most dogmatic approach to tactics imaginable. It's going to take 2-3 years to bed that in. What do you do? Well, you hire him. He finishes as high in the Premier League as he conceivably could, gets to a League Cup final and wins you the Europa League. So you sack him because things aren't perfect. Yeah, they love Lampard. Fantastic. But if they're well out of those Champions League places and the fans start to turn, I worry for him. Don't go anywhere.
This is Love Sport.
You're listening to the Transfer Rumour Mill here on Love Sport Radio with me, Johnny Burrow, and it's a real pleasure to be joined on the line by Tony Thorpe, former QPR, Luton and Fulham striker. Good evening, Tony. Before we get into these transfer deals, I've got to ask you a question about atmosphere. You played for QPR against Brentford. I know you scored against them as well. What's that game like?
On that particular evening, it's probably one of the loudest atmospheres I've ever played in. If you think I played at Bristol City, Luton, Fulham, you know, relatively smallish grounds. Bristol City's not too bad at Ashton Gate. But when QPR was full, 2003-2004 season, it was just electric. It just felt, and people have, ex-pros have always said, you know, you felt like the fans were on top of the pitch, and that evening was absolutely amazing, because you did feel that on that particular occasion.
And what does that noise come from, Tony? Are they very keen on each other?
I think that was a local derby, so you're going to get a bit of hostility between the two supporters, so it's going to be louder and a little bit more electric. So we were flying high, as you probably would remember, so I think we were top of the league at the time, or we went top of the league by beating them 1-0. So, as you're aware, you know, if you're winning games, you're obviously going to bring the supporters Loftus Road in their thousands, and on that particular night everything just clicked.
Well, Tony, you've done a perfect job there of giving us a first-hand account of the fact that QPR fans and Brentford fans possibly don't get along all that well. With that in mind, were you surprised when Barbe ran down his Brentford contract and immediately signed for QPR?
Yes, I mean, Mark is obviously, I mean, I'm kind of sitting on the fence a little bit here. So Mark's been at Brentford for 2 years, with 2015-17, relatively did okay with that team. And then he's going, obviously, up the road to the R's. And my gut reaction is, how are they going to address him? Are they going to give him a bit of time? I know he's signed a 2-year contract. Bringing in ex-Brentford players, is that going to help? I haven't got the answer to that right now, but it's going to be interesting, put it that way.
Yeah, it's quite a funny one. In terms of the player himself, Brentford fans are obviously putting a brave face on it and saying, well, he's not that good anyway. But how good a signing do you think this is?
I mean, can you remind me again? I do apologise. I've been out of the house all day.
No,
I've not had a chance to have a look.
So, Yohan Barbe is a sort of
technical
passing centre-half, but lots of people are saying that defensively a bit weaker, so possibly not the perfect signing. Do you think Warburton's going to do a good job at QPR?
I mean, if you look at the last previous managers, so we'll say Ian Holloway finished in the bottom half, limited resources, and then you talk about McLaren last year, again, finished in the bottom half, in the bottom six, although he left before the end of the season. If you're asking me if Mark can go in under the pressures that I think I'd like him to, of course I would. I don't know him very well myself. I wouldn't want to wish a manager that goes into QPR to fail. But if you're asking me if he's going to finish any higher than halfway, I'm going to have to stick my neck out and say no. Mm. So I do think it's going to be another season where they're going to struggle.
Do you think they're going to struggle in the transfer market as well, Tony? Because we were told a lot that there was a tricky financial situation at the club, but Barbet's wages will not be insignificant. So are they going to spend a bit more than we thought?
I mean, that's not down. That won't be down to supporters or ourselves talking about that. The club will only know what they've got to spend. Me personally, I mean, they're not going to have millions. Maybe they can cover that with maybe some good wages. But is a centre-half what QPR need right now? I'm not so sure.
Interesting point. They're not just signing, though, because it's looking, and we'd all feared this for a while, that QPR are losing their start man. Luke Freeman is a £4 million target for Sheffield United. Is that enough money?
No, probably not in today's market. You'd expect it to be a bit more championship players now. If you look in the championship, there's probably 20 Premier League clubs in there that have once obviously tasted that success in the Premier League. Sheffield United have gone up. I mean, the list goes on. Leeds, the three clubs that will come down from the Premiership. It's just getting harder and harder each year. No, it's not enough money, but I mean, if QPR are going to offload, balance the books and maybe bring one or two in, that's probably their remit of what they're trying to do, because I just don't think they're going to go and spend silly money trying to finish in the top six or seven. I just can't see that happening.
Moving to another of your former clubs, you're a man who knows a thing or two about scoring goals and a thing or two about Fulham. Do you think Mitrovic is going to stay there?
I quite like him, actually, and I think he'd be a brilliant signing for someone like QPR, but whether they can entice someone like that to the club, I'm not sure. But no, I don't think he'll stay. But if he does, it'll give Fulham a really good chance next year to be in that top six as well.
And they're being linked with Dwight Gayle for £20 million. Now, he seems to be one of those strikers who will always be prolific in the Championship. And whenever he makes the step up, can't quite do the business. Why do you think that is?
Don't know, actually, because I mean, is it power and strength? Because he's a good finisher. He's relatively quick. He went to West Brom towards the end of the season, nearly, you know, obviously sneaked into a playoff place in the terms of a final. Obviously, they got to the two-legged affair. Me personally, I think he is a very, very good Championship player, but just falls a little bit short for that top level. I don't know the answer to that, because I don't know him again. But looking at him over the years, some players are just suited for that Championship, get you 25, 30 goals a season, and they just can't take that step. And it seems that that's been the case with him, unfortunately.
I mean, if they had Mitrovic and Gayle up front, that's an incredible amount of goals. I mean, at Championship level.
Yeah, I think that's where teams like Queen's Park Rangers have probably struggled a little bit. I can't remember the last time that they probably had a prolific, obviously Austin, a little bit different, but he has, without injuries, he can take that next step up. I know he's had a few injuries over the years, but Southampton has shown that he's a good player. So he has made that address, you know, into that higher level. Someone like Dwight Gayle and Mitrovic at that level in the Championship would be a force to be reckoned with. And you wouldn't bet against Fulham if they was to sign him for that kind of money. You wouldn't bet against them being in the shake-up.
Yeah, it'd be absolutely terrifying. Just a final question before we let you get going, Tony. I know you're a very popular man in Luton. We're hearing that.
No, I'm not, actually.
Are you not? But you scored so many goals. How are you not popular?
I came to Queen's Park Rangers under very, very difficult circumstances.
Oh, did you?
At the time.
Have they not forgiven you? Hang on. I'm looking at your goal record here, right, which is slightly before my time. But first spell at Luton Town, 120 appearances, 50 goals. Then you go on loan a couple of times. Again, you're scoring one in two. Then on a permanent 2002-2003, 15 in 32. They can't begrudge you a move, can they?
No, I think there's a minority that have never forgived me. But listen, I've been retired 10 years now, and I left Luton for, I'd say, my last decent club, and I don't mean that in a disrespectful way, but when I left QPR, my legs went a little bit and I couldn't go again. So I think I finished with 82 goals at Luton, which is quite a lot of goals under, like you say, one in two career at that club.
I deserve a little bit more respect. But like I said, I went to QPR and had two great seasons there that I'll never forget, and great times with Ian Holloway and Kenny Jackett.
Wonderful stuff. Luton Town have, of course, got some very highly rated prospects at the moment. The defender, James Justin, is being linked with a move to Leicester City. Is that a good piece of business?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, Leicester, you look at Leicester, I live in Leicester, so I go and watch the Premier League games at Leicester, you know, probably 10 times a season if I get a chance. And they're a good up-and-coming young team, and they'll do okay next year, Leicester. I'd anticipate them being in the top six, maybe top eight next year with what they've got. If they're going to sign players like him, it shows that Brendan Rodgers is looking for youth as well as talent with what he's got. So they'll be a force to be reckoned with. And Luton next year in the Championship, I won't mind saying, will do okay. I think.
Go on, tell them they'll get promoted. They'll forgive you.
Absolutely. Yeah, well, I'm not sure they'll get promoted, but you just never know that momentum thing that QPR have kind of lost over the years. I mean, I looked at QPR just quickly. Their first 10 fixtures, I was looking, thinking, you know, like sometimes you look and you think, right, you can win that and you can win that and you'll get something there. I mean, Bristol City, you've got Millwall, Swansea, Stoke away first game of the season.
You can get something at Millwall, surely.
Yeah, of course, yeah. They'll be in the... I think Millwall will struggle. Neil's done a fantastic job. I know Neil House, great guy. Under the resources, he's been brilliant. But, you know, talking about Queen's Park Rangers, which is why I'm on the show, I do worry for them next year. I really do.
Well, an interesting and perhaps concerning tip there, Tony. Lovely to speak to you. Thank you for your time. Tony Thorpe, former QPR and Fulham striker. The less said about Luton Town, the better. Talking about Leicester there, I think rightly talking up their prospects in the Premier League of a sixth place finish. It's not just that they've got to sign the right players, though. They've got to hold on to what they've got. They only had Youri Tielemans on loan. He's got to sign permanently. And we're hearing this week that Harry Maguire is going to Manchester City for £80 million English pounds. Now, I'm a massive fan of Harry Maguire. The man has an enormous forehead and scored a great goal against Sweden in the World Cup. He'll always have a place in my heart. But £80 million. Harry Maguire, the world's most expensive defender. I can't get my head around this. I can't work out whether we all need to just look at this rationally and accept that this is the way the market's going. There's a lot of money in football. The prices are going to keep going up. Or whether I should just start shouting that everyone's gone mad and Harry Maguire needs to stay at Leicester City, or at least have the common decency to not cost any more than £40 million. One club who won't be splashing the cash this summer are Millwall, but they might just surprise you. Don't go anywhere.
This is Love Sport.
It's Johnny Burrow here with your Football League edition of the Transfer Rumour Mill, joined on the line by Tony Thomas, YouTuber at Millwall Drive Home and a real authority on all things Millwall. Good evening, Tony. Thanks for joining me. Jamal Lowe, the name has been bouncing round for a while. Are you convinced he's the forward you need?
And before I talk about Jamal Lowe, saying to Tony Thorpe, who was an excellent striker in his time.
Yeah, it went well, didn't it, mate?
You didn't do well. You're talking about Luton. And you also said about Luton doing one over us on the Den. It's never easy to come to the Den.
No,
and
it's very true.
Better than that.
I do.
But anyway, so we'll move on now to Jamal Lowe. He plays more as a right winger than he plays as a striker. But yes, I'd absolutely love to be able to sign someone of Jamal Lowe's quality. Because at the moment, we need players through the door. We've got 17 senior players on our books and no goalkeepers. So, obviously, it's all fallen through with the Ipswich goalkeeper because of a medical. Would I like... Jamal Lowe scores goals. I think he scored 16 goals last season. But like I said, he predominantly under Kenny Jackett last year. He played as a right winger more than a striker. And we've already got Jed Wallace in that position. He has the potential to play up front, but like I said, we just need players through the door at the moment, and we're 40 days away from the first game of the season with a threadbare squad, and that includes obviously two youth players that have now got senior contracts in Billy Mitchell, George Alexander, and one other that, you know, and Mr. Brown. So, you know, and I think all of them could potentially do a job, but we don't want to be relying on fully. We need to certainly strengthen the squad.
We're hearing reports that you've already had bids rejected that certainly by Millwall standards are pretty lofty, you know, in the upwards of 1.5 million sort of range. How much is he going to end up costing?
He'll probably end up costing another team, to be honest, because we will only go so far. As you said, I've heard the rumours that we've bid for 2.5 million, which way exceeds our transfer record, which is just a million with either Ryan Leonard or Tom Bradshaw, which both of those two cost just over a million. So if we're spending the money that we're looking like spending, which we can do, we sold George Saville at the end of the transfer window at last summer, that we couldn't really utilise until January, until he become a player, an official player for Middlesbrough. We've had massive investment with Husky Hot Chocolate, the chocolate brand that have taken over our shirt sponsor and become the club's predominant sponsor, and it's the biggest sponsorship in the club's history. You know, we've had local businesses like DCS Roofing and TW Drainage who've done great for the club. But this is a step above what we've had, and there's talk like it's the sixth or seventh biggest shirt sponsor in the Championship. That must mean that we should have unprecedented levels of money to spend, and hopefully with that, like I said, we need to bring in players. I don't think there's a rush, although we need players. I don't think there's a rush because you don't want to fall into the trap of buying a player for the sake of buying a player. There's plenty of good players out there. You know, like Moses Odebanjo, who's been released by Brentford. You've got Albert Adoma, who's a free transfer that's been at Bristol City. Jordan Hugill, who's at West Ham as a striker, is someone else that I'd like to bring in. You know, there's out there. And what you don't want to do is just rush into making a decision just to please the fans or to make the board feel happier that you're bringing players into the club. They need to be the right players, and they need to be players that could play in front of them, because that's no easy task.
You're spot on, Tony, but equally, if you leave it too long, and then you're in panic buying territory, aren't you?
You are in panic buying territory, so you need to get the balance right. And obviously, you know, we set our tasks on buying Bartosz Bielikowski from Ipswich as our goalkeeper, and something went wrong with the medical. There's talk of a really past injury, a knee injury, and a more recent injury, and I think it's maybe a little bit as a bargaining chip, and they have not completely said that the deal's off, but it's off at the moment. And obviously, if you put your eggs into one basket and that basket breaks, then you're going to lose a lot of eggs. Fortunately, we've not spent any money, and it's better that way, that rather than buying him, that the injury that you've brought in on a medical, and I've heard a lot of Millwall players saying it makes us seem like a bad club, but I think if you do a survey on a house that you're buying, so you're going to buy a house, you do a survey, if something's wrong with that with the house that's brought up in a survey, you're not going to offer the price that you'd originally offered, because you're going to have to mitigate whatever the problem is, or you might pull out completely and think, well, actually, I need a house with a roof, and the survey's proved that your roof's going to fall in, and I don't want a house with no roof.
So I often say that when I'm looking for a house. I say, if this house hasn't got two very reliable knees, I'm not signing it. It's that straightforward.
Yeah, I agree. And if it can't keep the ball out of the back of the net, you don't want that either. And he didn't do that very well at Ipswich last season.
Okay.
He got relegated bottom of the table.
That's very true. But in terms of the injury stakes, he played 30 times last season. He is 31, but he didn't seem to be a croc last year.
No, 100%. I don't think that, you know, there's no obvious medical. He's been player of the season at Ipswich 3 years and before last year, 3 years in a row. So he's consistent. He's a player that. But then we're talking on hearsay and what went wrong with the medical. There could be something that, you know, is about to go wrong. We don't know. We don't know. And that's the problem, where, you know, they're spending a lot of money, unprecedented amounts of money for Millwall. And you don't want to spend all of that money and find out that he turns up on day one, has the injury, and then you've wasted all that money and we still haven't got a goalkeeper. So it may well just be we think this is wrong, so therefore, can you bring the price down a little bit? It may not be that, but if that is the case, then you wait a week or so, and then you go again and with a renewed offer, or pay the money that they're asking for in the first place.
Interesting stuff. I just want to move back to Jamal Lowe quickly for a moment, because Portsmouth brought him from Hampton and Redbridge Borough.
Round the corner from us. Yeah, another player, another Londoner that's gone elsewhere rather than being picked up by us or another London club.
That's one way of looking at it. The other is that Charlton Athletic got Joe Aribo from Staines Town. There clearly is talent at championship level in non-league. Would you like to see Millwall do a little bit of digging?
Well, notoriously, we are a club that have done that. You know,
Gregory.
He's gone to Stoke. Steve Morrison was another one. Neil Harris himself. You know, Steve Morrison came from Crawley. Neil Harris, the manager and our all-time leading goal scorer, came from Cambridge City. So we, the best strikers in our club. Sheringham came from our youth setup. The best players in our club have come from non-league or come from our youth system. There's no doubt about it. So yes, I'm always willing to go into those areas. We signed Harry Ransom at the end of last year from a Kent side that was playing in non-league, and apparently he can play an attacking midfield role. So yeah, we're always willing to delve into it. There is a lot of competition for players. You just look at, we've two players in 2 years signed by Manchester City from our youth setup that, you know, potentially could play in our full team in a couple of years. And you think that, yeah, we've got maybe, what, just under $1 million for both of them. But we need to keep those players in our club. And it's very frustrating that you scout players, you bring them into the club, you train them, and then you lose them to big clubs that are just farming players like their assets, like they're playing Monopoly and hoping that one of those players is going to make a lot of money. And that's really what's wrong with the transfer. In my opinion, that's what's wrong with the transfer system. I could talk about that all day because it frustrates me.
No, that's fair enough. Just as a final point on the club, you mentioned Lee Gregory there, who has, of course, been confirmed.
They shouldn't be allowed in. No club needs any more than that. There's no reason that, you know, Chelsea should have 18 or 20 players out on loan and then clubs in the lower league having to loan those players, because you were talking about Derby earlier and what the job that Frank Lampard has done. Well, he had Harry Wilson, Mason Mount and Tomori on loan last year. Yeah. You take those three players out of that team, they wouldn't have finished top 10. And so, obviously, him being, you said about the job that he did he do a great job? Well, actually, his connections allowed him to do a better job than he would have been done, because those three players wouldn't have come to Millwall and we wouldn't have been able to pay their wages for a start. But we wouldn't have got them because of the connections that Frank Lampard's got. He's not going to have that at Chelsea because Chelsea is his club. So those were the connections that he would have had. And I think that he's obviously the reputation of him. Chelsea might need him at the moment because they're going to struggle with the transfer embargo that they're under. But, you know, that just shows you that clubs are under so much pressure to achieve, and there's so much competition. Like I said, there's 28 signings in the Championship so far in this transfer window, which is nothing when you compare to the amount of players that have been released. I think it's nearly 100 players being released by the clubs in the Championship. Only 28 have been signed. It just shows you that a lot of clubs are waiting. You know, teams that have not even... We've signed Alex Pearce, who we need to replace as our captain. Obviously, Steve Morrison going on loan. Cardiff, Fulham, Leeds, West Brom. They've not signed a player yet.
Yeah.
And yet, obviously, there's a massive... don't get me wrong, they've got better squads than we have. And so it's more pressing that we do sign a player. But, you know, patience is a virtue. Don't go out and spend money just for the sake of spending it, and try and get that balance where you're not panic buying at the end of the transfer window.
Tony, it's a very good message. Thank you ever so much for your time. Lovely to speak to you. Tony Thorpe there. Not Tony Thorpe, I do apologise. Tony Thomas, who is a YouTuber at Millwall Drive Home. We, of course, had Tony Thorpe, the former QPR forward, on the show earlier. And we're moving on to Charlton Athletic and Joe Aribo. I'm delighted to say I'm joined on the line by Martin Adkins of the SE7 pod and the Charlton Fan Show here on Love Sport Radio. Good evening, Martin. It's looking like Aribo is off.
Evening, Johnny. Yes, it does. I think it's just dotting the I's and crossing the T's and all that at the moment. So, yeah, we're resigned to losing him now. And good luck to him.
Lee Bowyer's been pretty forthright about this. He said there's no point in going to Rangers because you're not getting a move to the Premier League and you'd do better to stay in England. Do you think he's right?
Part of me does. think that. But then, you know, you've got to look at people like Virgil van Dijk and Andy Robertson. You know, they've played in the Scottish Premier League.
Wanyama.
Wanyama, you know, they've come down into the English Premier League and, you know, ain't done them any harm. So, you know, part of me thinks yes, but, you know, he's gone with his gut. He wants to play under Steven Gerrard, which is obviously a big pull. So, you know, it's down to him, isn't it?
It absolutely is. How much do you think that Gerrard is the factor here?
Oh, I think it's huge. I mean, we said it on our fan show a couple of weeks ago, didn't we? I think it's just he's a youngster, 22, growing up. When he was growing up, Gerrard would probably have been one of his footballing heroes. So, you know, I think it's difficult for us to keep him at the club when something like that comes in for you.
The club have been pretty open about the fact that they wanted Aribo to move to an English club. Not because they're so much fussed about where he plays, but because of the tribunal rules, right? So if he moved to another championship team or a Premier League team, you'd stand to get at least a few million, right? If he goes to Rangers, you only get 300,000. Does that annoy you?
It does, but, you know, that's the club we are now at the moment. You know, Mr. Duchatelet, much to our disdain, he's run the club like that through all the players. You know, we've only given players one-year contracts. I mean, look, we only literally just signed Lee Bowyer by the skin of his teeth last week. So I'm afraid Charlton fans, we've just got to resign ourselves until Duchatelet goes. That's just the way the club's run at the moment.
But you plucked Aribo from relative obscurity in non-league. You've turned him into a star. Do you think he owes you not to stay, but to stay in England so that the club get a little bit of money on all that time and patience they've invested?
Again, yeah, why not? I mean, I think a lot of fans are feeling quite disgruntled at that fact as well. I suppose it does owe us a little bit, but then, you know, football's a short career for these players and he's got to choose what's best for him. So, you know, that's football, I'm afraid.
Mm. And what next for Charlton? Because in the absence of that fee, who are you going to bring in to replace him? Aribo is such an important part of that midfield.
Yeah, he was. Well, we've just signed Jake Forster-Kaski back on another year's contract. That'd be like a new signing because he didn't play at all last season. So you could really say he'll come in and replace Aribo. There's big rumours about us bringing in that Erhan Otsuma from Bolton. That's been doing the rounds on Twitter. So, I don't know. I mean, we've got to trust Steve Gallen and Lee Bowyer. They did the business last season, you know, late on. They brought in Josh Cullen and Christian Billick. I'd imagine they're scouring the under-23 squads of Premier League clubs to strip and maybe even bring those two guys back. We don't know. We've got to be patient, Charlton fans, unfortunately.
What are you hoping for from this season? Do you think you're staying up?
It's hard to say, Johnny, because, you know, until we see what squad we've got, I'd like to think we will stay up. As long as we finish above Millwall, I think Charlton fans will be happy.
Is that likely? I mean, Millwall will probably be in a relegation battle, won't they?
They probably will be, and I've no doubt we'll be in and amongst it as well. Unless, you know, Bowyer and Gallen pull something spectacular out of the hat with players-wise. I think we've got to look at consolidating ourselves in the Championship. Hopefully the club gets sold in the next... Well, we've been saying that for 2 years, but hopefully soon. And then new owners can come in and we can build on that.
Well, all the very best for it, Martin. We can only hope. Lovely to speak to you as ever. Martin Adkins there of the SE7 pod and the Charlton Fan Show here on Love Sport Radio. If you want to hear more from Martin and the guys, that's every Thursday night, 9 until 10 p.m. Get involved with that. It's been a cracking show. We've discovered that Gianluigi Buffon is going to be playing in the English second division because apparently nothing is sacred. Joe Aribo is off to Scotland because he idolises Steven Gerrard. Frankly, I'm just guessing there, but if he doesn't idolise Steven Gerrard, there's something wrong with him. And we have also been looking at QPR. Yoann Barbe showing that loyalty is a dying, dying thing in modern football. And Millwall as well. They're paying money this summer. This is something that even Millwall fans are surprised by. Millwall playing millions of pounds for forwards. football is changing. That league is changing. You're joking. My producer, just as I'm meant to be going off air, a hero of my childhood, Francesco Totti. Now, Goal Italia are reporting that Leeds have offered Totti the chance to come to Elland Road. I assume that that is physically visiting rather than putting his boots on, given he's about 57. But imagine that, a Leeds United with Totti in the coaching staff, Gianluigi Buffon in net. If this were 2003, they'd be quite good. Oh, wait, they were. Join me next time.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.